and get ready for the racing weekend.
Checker flag!
It's Chasing Checkers with your host, Chase McCabe, on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Green flag is in the air, and we are underway. The Advent Health 400 Kansas Speedway.
Green and white checkered flag in the air, and Kyle Busch picks up the Stage 1 win. William Byron is off the pace. The left rear tire looks like it's gone down. William Byron trailing smoke from behind. Kurt Busch will flash by and grab the top spot.
Here's Kyle Larson again from the outside. Drives it deep into the corner. Kurt Busch drives deeper in the middle lane. Kurt Busch, a fender out in front.
But Kyle Larson's got the momentum on the outside lane, and he bounces off the wall.
The race off from pit road. Kyle Busch wins the race off from pit road. Looks like Kyle Larson might have been out second, with Kurt Busch going out third here.
Kurt goes to the middle. Larson bangs the safer barrier. He's in the wall. He's in the wall as Kurt Busch gets away.
Kurt Busch sees the checkered flag, and Kurt Busch wins the Advent Health 400 at Kansas Speedway. Kurt Busch will take Michael Jordan to victory lane in the heartland.
And yes, welcome into Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game in Nashville, 92.1 The Axe in Mattoon, Illinois. Chase McCabe here with you, all presented by the Nashville Super Speedway, Apple Collision Centers, and the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway. And that is how it sounded at Kansas on the Motor Racing Network, is heard right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game in Nashville. And appreciate them for allowing us to use that. Kurt Busch gets the second win for 2311 Racing, the first in the number 45 car, his first at Kansas Speedway, and his first of the season. And not only did he get the win, but it was in dominant fashion too. Kurt Busch showing that, you know, still relatively early in the season. I mean, it was before the All-Star race, coming in here and showing that he belongs and could be a legitimate contender as they go along. I mean, I think we've seen the Toyotas get better. We've seen, obviously, Joe Gibbs Racing get better. And that is, you know, where the cars come from 2311. But Kurt Busch leads 116 laps to get that win and beat Kyle Larson and his brother Kyle Busch and his car owner Denny Hamlin. But it was a Joe Gibbs 2311 top five outside of Kyle Larson. But Kurt Busch, Kyle Larson, Kyle Busch, Denny Hamlin, Christopher Bell rounding out the top five. And Martin Truex Jr. was just outside the top five in sixth. So a very, very good day for 2311 Racing. And Kurt Busch talked to Fox Sports about winning that race.
How did you guys come out and dominate the way you did to get this first victory?
It's all about teamwork. I mean, I don't do this alone. And the way that Toyota's helped us, JGR, my little brother, has been so important just on the family side of, hey, you got to get through these steps. Bubba's a tremendous teammate, but this is 2311. This is our first win for the 45 car. And with Jordan Brand on the hood, I mean, I felt like I had to play like the GOAT, or race like the GOAT, and I had to beat Kyle's. I had to beat both. This was like the Kyle and Kyle show. I remember Ned Jarrett said this, the Dale and Dale show. Like, I can get one Kyle, and I'm like, I can get both. I just had to have the confidence to know. And our setup would do things on short run and long run, but thanks to Jordan Brand, Toyota, Monster Energy, McDonald's, Moneyline, just all the team partners of this 2311. It's 45 cars, the winner now.
Kurt, you've been doing this. You've been in this game a long time, and Mike Joy mentioned it, the number of different teams you've done it with. What is it like joining a team like this that's so new and being able to get you right here? What does that take?
It's the most gratifying to work from the ground up with a brand new car number. And yes, I've been with a lot of teams, a lot of manufacturers. Now, this is the check off the Toyota box, but it's about family. I love my family at home. I love my KBI employees and everybody at 2311. This is for us. This is what the hard work is all about. No matter if you lose a couple spots on pit road, no matter if our car was a basket or whatever to start, I'm going to go find Toto because I'm in Kansas. I'm loving it.
Go find Toto. But listen, I love this for Kurt Busch because, you know, he's somebody that I think you lose sight of the fact that what he's done here. You know, he's won now for Roush. He won at Penske. He won at Stuart Haas. He won at Ganassi. Now he's won at 2311. The only team that he drove for that he didn't win, or teams, was James Finch. You know, when he had everything going on in his personal life and he left Penske, he kind of started over. He drove for James Finch, and then he drove for Furniture Row for a year. Didn't win at either one of those teams, but he's won for five different organizations, four different manufacturers. That's pretty darn cool that he's been able to do that. But the guy that was emotional, and you'll hear several clips from both Kurt Busch and Denny Hamlin, but it was Denny. And, you know, Denny was this moment that Fox captured, that he leans into the race car and says something to Kurt. It was pretty cool to watch.
Denny, what are the emotions you feel right now as a driver and owner?
I'm just so happy for these drivers. I'll be right back.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Appreciate the help. Appreciate it, man.
That's us.
We did this.
We did it, man.
Hell yeah.
Thank you.
Danny, you got tears in your eyes. What are those emotions right now going through this?
I'll take them.
Party on the Denny Hamlin plane tonight?
You know, we as an organization has kind of let these guys down. I'm talking about Bubba and Kurt with so many mistakes that we've made on pit road and whatnot. And, you know, Bubba got let down again on the last stop. But he was fast. I thought he was a little better than I was. We had to go back again three times today. But let's talk about the positives. Just can't thank Kurt enough. Jordan Brand's first race, so jealous he gets to drive that car and then to have that thing so fast there. I've never had certainly this kind of feeling, even for a win for me, much less, you know, when I didn't win. So it's just different.
And you heard him reference Bubba Wallace. Bubba had a top five car. They had the mistake on pit road, had the penalty, came back, finished 10th. But I think Bubba had a top five car and maybe could have contended for the win. But you can definitely just see those cars getting better and the drivers getting more and more confident. Denny Hamlin getting more confident as a car owner because he is basically setting up what's next for him. You know, when he's done driving the race car, he's going to be a very active owner, like you've seen Tony Stewart and others do, and I think it's kind of a trend with drivers that this is what they're doing as they move on in their career. So we'll talk more about 2311 racing here in just a few minutes. Also, Eric Moses of the Nashville Super Speedway going to join us at the bottom of the hour. But Kyle Larson also had a good car. He would lead 29 laps on the day, but he kept getting loose at times, finding the wall. Ends up finishing second, and talked to the Motor Racing Network.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't upset with him or anything, but yeah, it was just hard racing there for the win. I knew, you know, he got to my inside. I was struggling in traffic a little bit, and he was able to get by, and yeah, I just, from there, I kind of had to hold on to second. So yeah, I just fought really hard today and overdrove at moments, and then yeah, just had to work hard for it.
I tell you what, Larson had to work on that second place finish, but he'll take it. And what wasn't the win, but I feel like we're starting to see Larson, you know, come back into his own a little bit. They're going to be hitting some tracks that, you know, he's really good at, including this weekend for the All-Star race. And I know that's not for points, but obviously something that, you know, can help spark a season for a team and give some confidence. But you know, Kyle Larson, if you look at his last few races, he had the second. He didn't have a good weekend at Darlington, but he had sixth place finish, fourth place before that at the Bristol Dirt Race. So you take that Darlington race out, and he's right there in contention. I think there's going to be some more wins for Kyle Larson coming up here in the very near future. So he comes home second. Kyle Busch came home third and talked about his day with MRN.
Yeah, I mean, just had a good race car, though, to be able to capitalize and get back in position to be able to race for a win right there. I mean, we restarted the last restart as the leader and gave it away, so that's frustrating. But all in all, just the 45 was really good today. So, you know, congrats to Kurt and those guys. He's very deserving of getting a win and, you know, would like to have been us for baby Lennox being born this week. But, you know, there's another Busch in victory lane, so all good.
And congratulations to Kyle and Samantha on the birth of baby Lennox, their daughter. So Brexton, a big brother now. But again, another good run for him. He's already got the win. You're seeing the confidence build with him and with Joe Gibbs Racing. And it was good to also hear him be happy for his older brother. So that was good. I know Kyle wants to win every week and doesn't like to lose, but at least he didn't run second. You know, I saw that at Atlanta, and you could tell he was a little ticked off by that. But Kyle Busch comes home third. You heard from Denny Hamlin already. Let's hear from Christopher Bell, who finished in the fifth place spot.
Yeah, I mean, these Camrys are obviously really, really good. So really happy to be at Joe Gibbs Racing. You know, this was a long time coming. We've had a couple of these races where all of us have been really good, but obviously every car was exceptional today. So our Ream Camry was really good early, and then when we lost track position, just kind of lost the balance on it. And whenever we got back up front, just wasn't quite good enough to be there at the end.
So another good day for Joe Gibbs Racing. Again, Kurt Busch wins, leads 116 laps. Kyle Larson second, then Kyle Busch, Denny Hamlin, Christopher Bell, Martin Truex Jr., Ross Chastain, Ricky Stenhouse Jr., Alex Bowman, Bubba Wallace, your top 10, Austin Cindric, Ryan Blaney, Austin Dillon, Brad Keselowski, Kevin Harvick, William Byron, Joey Logano, Noah Gregson, Corey LaJoie, Ty Dillon, the top 20. And I should mention, Brad Keselowski did run up in the top 10 some. You can tell that things are starting to turn around at Roush Fenway Keselowski Racing. We talked to Chris Buescher last week. He talked about that the culture's changing there at that race team, and that obviously is helping things along there. So that's how it all shook out at Kansas. Coming up next, a deeper dive into 2311 racing and what Denny Hamlin and Michael Jordan are trying to accomplish. They now have two wins. What's next for them? We'll discuss that as you listen to Chasing Checkers on ESPN 102.5 and 106.3 The Game in Nashville, 92.1 The Axe in Mattoon, Illinois, and of course, it's all powered by the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway, Apple Collision Centers, and the Nashville Super Speedway.
If you've missed any of today's show, just search Chasing Checkers on Apple, Spotify, or your favorite podcast platform.
Yeah, it's huge. I'm so proud of Kurt and really Bubba as well. I mean, Bubba deserved to have a shot at a win today as well. His car was just,
by the way, top 10 for him.
Yeah, I mean, they were so much better than that, but that's just, you know, mistakes, and we're working on that, and that's something that I feel like I've let these guys down with is you know, pit road, and you know, it's just part of it. It's growing pains, but man, I mean, this is what this team's capable of. I'm so happy for Kurt. Yeah, just way more joy than it was if I was winning.
What about your run today?
Finally, well, it wasn't a day that was. I mean, we went to back three times, so it's just I never could get an opportunity to. You know, get up there and kind of show the speed. But I mean, once I was there, I just couldn't get past the aero side of it. You know, we were all at freight train at the top, and that's all I had. But yeah, I mean, our car was fast, had to go to the back three times, and that's not ideal, but I'm gonna think about the positives today.
That's Denny Hamlin, who finished fourth at Kansas and also the co-owner of 2311 Racing. Welcome back into Chasing Checkers. ESPN 102.5 and 106.3 The Game in Nashville. 92.1 The Axe in Mattoon, Illinois. It's all presented by the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway, Apple Collision Centers, and the Nashville Super Speedway. Chase McCabe here with you. You can check us out on Twitter at @Chasen_Checkers or on Instagram and Facebook, Chasing Checkers Radio. And give us a follow and check out content every week. So 2311 Racing, what is next for them? They already have the two wins. Bubba Wallace gets the first one last year at Talladega in the 23, and now in the 45, his first year with the team, Kurt Busch dominates at Kansas and wins that race. Now, I want to preface what I'm about to say. I take nothing away from that win from Bubba Wallace and going through that first season. He was obviously in contention for the Daytona 500 this year, in that 23 car. So they have been competitive But I think what happened at Kansas is very defining for this 23-11 team, that they've gone out and now dominated a race. And you had both cars that were in contention. Bubba finished 10th. They had the mistake on pit road, the penalty, and the tire got away, and he had to go to the back of the field and then come back. That should have been a top five car. So I truly believe that this team is turning a corner and showing you that they can be competitive. Now, how do they make it consistent? How is it week in and week out? Kurt Busch talked about a lot of the emotions and a lot of the process that has gone into building this 45 team and the company as a whole when he talked to Steve Post of the Motor Racing Network.
How enjoyable is this? Just tell me your emotions right now as you are in victory lane with these guys with 2311 Racing.
It's family. And when we started this car number, I knew we had our work cut out for us. And we just had to do simple things to work our way up. And heck, one of the simple things was just making final round and qualifying. And we've been starting to do that. And that leads you into other categories that help you think and get into more detail about other things. I just thought all along, if we get up front, it's going to be a whole new game of blocking the air, taking lanes away. And I'll tell you, this Toyota Camry TRD was fast right off the truck. Stage one, I was killer tight, though. I thought our day was going to be a long day. And I'm just so happy the car reacted to the changes. So Jordan Brand on the hood, that's our DNA, 2311. Denny Hamlin, thank you. Monster Energy, everybody, that's our partners. This is a big win for our team.
You talk about being able to take the air off the cars behind you, but tracking people down, how important was maneuverability that you might be able to go where other cars couldn't go?
Yeah, I had my crew do something opposite on a green flag run, and I asked them to help me at the end because there's certain checkboxes that you can get away with. And I knew with Larson, he tried a slide job earlier in the race, and his weak spot was turn two. And I'm like, you know what? That's where I'm going to take advantage of them and get the lead back. And that's what we did with our Toyota.
You had told us before the race you guys need to execute flawlessly. You talked about the car being good off the truck. How close to flawless were you guys as far as overall execution for a team today?
This next-gen car is far from it. You always have to work. Yeah. No matter if you're in clean air, dirty air, good pit stops, bad pit stops, adjustments. It taught me a lot today, and I'm glad that Kansas, I finally conquered this track. I had never won here in all these years, and I finally get to see Pat Warren in victory lane.
And finally, you've won a lot of races. You've done a lot. What does this mean to a young team to be in victory lane?
That's the most gratifying part, is to help these guys win. And Billy Scott is a great crew chief, and the family here at 2311, I love him.
I think it is a process for this team, but look at how the season has gone so far for Kurt Busch in the 45. As you know, they're now at the All-Star break and got their first win. But you look at the Daytona 500, 19th, 8th at Auto Club, 13th at Vegas, 5th at Phoenix, 3rd at Atlanta. Then you go to Coda and Richmond, 32nd, 35. Martinsville, 6th, 32nd at Bristol, 16th at Dega, 31st at Dover, 28th at Darlington, and then you bounce back. It's been inconsistent, and that's what Denny has talked about. Denny has talked about minimizing the mistakes, giving them the best equipment, which I believe they have. They're getting that stuff from Joe Gibbs, and putting these cars in a position to win week in and week out. And you know, that's why he was asking his crew chief about what happened on the 23, and his crew chief basically had to tell him, hey, I need you to focus on driving the race car today. But that's the frustration that he has. And you know, the last few weeks for Bubba, mid pack, 17th at Talladega, 16th at Dover, 27th at Darlington, and then finally a tenth. The only top five is the Daytona 500, where he finished second in that runner-up position. So, but if you watch how these cars have been running, it their finishes aren't giving you the whole story. And I think that's obviously what Denny Hamlin is trying to fix. And Kurt Busch talked about in his post-race availability more about Denny Hamlin's vision.
There's things that an owner has to go through that are really heavy. And Denny has chosen this ownership role, and he's done it with
integrity and class and ambition and motivation. And it's things I would never want to put myself in position for. He called me a year and a half ago, 2 years, and said, hey, I got a plan. And I was like, if it all works out, I'll be part of it. But wow, just learning some of the things, being close to him as a friend, but also as a racer, and then now he's my boss. There's a lot that goes into the ownership side. And that's why he is overwhelmed with emotions right now, because of how much responsibility it all is and how much teamwork it takes. And things through the manufacturer, the sponsors, and just the amount of people. I hope that this helps everything as far as the foundation that we've laid. You know, with Bubba's win last year, that was a huge foundation. And you know, I would say that this is like building the first floor, building the second floor, and the sky's the limit. And so this means a lot to me as well, because we started this 45 car from scratch, and a lot of guys, girls, people came from other teams, and the spirit was, we're a bunch of rebels. Let's go do this.
And here's the other part of this. You know, Denny Hamlin, the co-owner, and obviously still in his driving career, Michael Jordan is the other owner of 2311. Jordan Brand was on the car, and it was an awesome-looking race car. You saw the fire suit that had the Jordan Brand, the jump man on the front, on the hood of the car, and I thought it was so cool. And Denny Hamlin was asked in the post-race press conference, the owner's portion, of if he had to talk MJ into that at all, and the answer was no.
The fact is, this Kurt Busch wins, and it doesn't matter about any previous history at this racetrack. We know when we show up, if we got a fast car, he is capable of winning, and that's what I saw in Kurt Busch. I told him the step one, beyond, before we talk about how we're going to fund it, how we're going to do anything, is I need you to drive it. That's all I care about, is I need you. We'll worry about funding it. We'll worry about the crew chief later. I just need to know that you believe in this. And so he did, and listen, he took a risk. I mean, this is a truly new team. I mean, these guys are continuing to hire new people every other week. I mean, it's we're still growing. And so he is such a team player. Everything that I had heard things about Kurt from his peers, and I interviewed three of his previous teammates. I took three of his previous teammates to lunch and just asked and kind of vetted Kurt out, because I'd never really had a close relationship with Kurt. But every single one of them, all three, said he was the best teammate I've ever had. That's your peer review. That's pretty much someone you need to have in your stable, and especially for Bubba, who has never had a teammate before. So might as well put him with the best one that's out there.
And so once again, that just shows you the commitment that Michael Jordan has to the team, to the drivers, to Denny, to NASCAR, and why that this new era of NASCAR that we're in is such a cool one, because it just is taking this sport into the next frontier. And I just think that is such a cool thing. And again, congratulations to them on the win. One other thing that I would like to point out that I thought was cool, I didn't think about it either, but it was brought up in the post-race press conference to Kurt Busch. The 45 had been controlled. NASCAR owns the numbers, but it had been registered by the Pettys, because that was Adam Petty's number. Obviously, Kyle Petty drove that car after Adam Petty's death, but they had kind of hung on to the 45, similar to how Richard Childress hung on to the 3 car after Dale Earnhardt passed away. They gave their blessing for Kurt to run that number with 2311, because that was Michael Jordan's number in baseball and in his return to the NBA. And Kurt was asked about it and if it made it extra special, because it's been, we're almost there at the anniversary, 22 years since we lost Adam Petty.
Yeah, I've talked with Kyle Petty a couple times, and I'm sure I'll get a text even from Richard that, yes, they were registering the number 45 for years, and MJ wanted this number on the second car. And we asked the Petty family for their blessing, and Kyle Petty said, yep, if it's you, Kurt, I'm going to let it ride. And, yes, I could feel things early on with Kyle and the way that he wanted this 45 car to have success. And it's a small spiritual connection. And that's, again, I'm happy that we've won. And also it's a representation of a brand. And it's a 45. And with us winning, or even just continuing to build and build and build, we wanted the 45 to be successful. And I'll now be able to call Kyle, and I'll find him in Level Cross, and we'll all go get a drink together and say thanks.
So a pretty cool thing there for Kurt and for the Petties. So we'll see what's next for 2311 Racing. Coming up next on the show, we're going to talk to Eric Moses. He's the president of the Nashville Super Speedway. Obviously, the Ally 400 weekend coming up June 24th through the 26th out there at Gladeville at that beautiful facility. So we will see what the latest is from him and from that track as you listen to Chasing Checkers on ESPN 102.5 The Game in Nashville, 92.1 The Axe in Mattoon, Illinois, and it's all driven by the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway, Apple Collision Centers, and the Nashville Super Speedway. We are back here on Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe here with you, and you know that one of the big sponsors and one of my favorite places of this show is the Nashville Super Speedway. And what better person to talk about the Nashville Super Speedway than Eric Moses? He's the president of that track, and he's on the line with us. Eric, good to talk to you again. I think it's been since Daytona, but we're like 5 weeks away from the second annual Ally 400, and I cannot wait.
Well, it is always a pleasure to be with you, my friend, and we are super excited about year two of our NASCAR weekend and ready to get going.
Yeah, so the Symphony of Speed, I love that, is your marketing platform that you're using. But June 24th through the 26th, the Ally 400 weekend, we know we're going to have the trucks, the Xfinity Series, and the Cup race on Sunday. And I believe there might be a few tickets left for Sunday, but it's getting close to another sellout.
Yeah, no, we've got some tickets left, so if your listeners have not bought their tickets yet, we encourage them to do so. It's going to be great. Anyone who has paid attention to the 2022 NASCAR season should know that it has been a great season thus far. This past weekend in Kansas was probably one of the most exciting races I've seen in a long time, and we have no reason to believe that that's going to stop, and they're going to get after it at our track as well. So come out for the whole weekend. We got, you know, trucks under the lights, the Xfinity cars going at it again on Saturday, and then the Ally 400 on Sunday, and it will start at 4 p.m. And so for those who like myself maybe wither a little bit in the heat, it should be better starting at 4 o'clock, and then ending under the lights.
I love that. I know that last year, the heat in June in Tennessee is obviously a thing. So I think that's a great move by you all in NASCAR to move that race a little later in the day. And who doesn't love a finish under the lights?
Yeah, it's hard to resist. There's something about that. And you know, I tell people this all the time with having been new to Tennessee. I mean, the sunsets in our state are amazing. And so having the opportunity to see some of that as well while you're at the racetrack, it's going to be kind of special. So we're looking forward to it. It's going to be a great weekend. Have no idea who's going to win the race this year. I mean, last year, you know, Kyle Larson was tearing up the field, but this year it seems like every week it's anybody's shot.
I know. Larson stunk up the show, as they like to say, even though it was great racing. But he obviously had the most dominant car. But I don't know. People have been asking me, Eric, of who I think is going to win. And you know, Larson's obviously going to be tough to beat and be a contender, but I think somebody like a Tyler Reddick, William Byron, some of these young guns that we've seen this year, Ross Chastain, they're certainly going to be something to deal with. But that's the cool part about the new car, and this will be the debut of the next-gen car at the Nashville Super Speedway. A lot of unpredictability.
Yeah, I think everybody will be trying to solve the same riddle, right? You know, they're getting used to the new car. Our track is still new to most of the field, save for some of the older drivers who ran there back in the day. And so figuring out our track while they're still figuring out the new car, I think it's going to make for some great racing. And you're right. You know, Chastain and the Trackhouse guys have been getting after it. Ricky Stenhouse has been running well this year as well. So, you know, it's anybody's race, I think.
We're talking to Eric Moses, the president of the Nashville Super Speedway. Now, you all announced the Brothers Osborne will be the pre-race concert before the Cup race on Sunday, June 26th. That's going to be a heck of a show. I've seen them before. They put on a good show, and I know you all are thrilled to have them involved.
We are really excited, and not only am I excited about that, Chase, and we're also excited about the fact that with COVID mainly in our rearview mirror as a country and certainly as a state, you know, we will have the opportunity to let fans get up close and personal before that pre-race concert and come out on the infield and be right in front of the stage so they can really appreciate the performance and feel it in a way that we weren't able to offer last year. So this year is about more entertainment, more opportunities for engagement, more of an immersive experience, and you will certainly know after you come out to our racetrack June 24th through the 26th that you are in Music City.
Yeah, there is no doubt about that. And as you mentioned, the Rackley Roofing 200, the truck race on Friday, the Tennessee Lottery 250, the Xfinity race on Saturday, tickets available for both of those events. Kids get in free on those two. So that's something that if you want to bring the family out, that is definitely a good value. So I got to ask you this, because you and I have we've chatted about 2311 racing before. You've gotten to meet MJ with his involvement, but they get their second win as a race team last week at Kansas with Kurt Busch in that 45 car. Pretty cool to see MJ and Denny Hamlin having success early on in their ownership.
Well, can we first talk about the sickest paint scheme that certainly I've ever seen?
It was awesome.
And maybe I'm partial. I'm partial to Jordan, but sick paint scheme, great racing with Kurt. Certainly helped by the fact that Kyle seemed not to be able to stay out of the wall in that third stage. But yeah, it's great to see 2311 get some success here. You know, Bubba finished 10th. He should have been probably top five, but had that penalty on pit road. Those guys and the Trackhouse guys, you know, bringing new ownership, new energy to the sport, I think is only going to help the sport. So I'm super excited. I have reason to believe that His Airness will be at our track, watching his team compete, and so yeah, really excited to see them win, and frankly to see various drivers and teams have an opportunity to take the checkered flag this season.
Yeah, I agree with that. He's Eric Moses, the Nashville Super Speedway, and that's what was so cool last year is, you know, I'd be sitting getting ready for pre-race, and Pitbull would walk through the media room, and Alvin Kamara would walk through the media room. You mentioned MJ is probably going to be there. I mean, people want to come to Nashville. They want to come to your track, and that's got to be a pretty cool feeling for you, putting this with your team, putting this all together, to know that these people want to be there.
Well, we are very fortunate to be in a market that I think is the hottest market in the country, and for good reason. I do credit the team and NASCAR and certainly my Speedway Motorsports colleagues for helping us to make certain that we're putting on a good show and that we're positioning ourselves the right way so that people want to come to our track. But Nashville's hot, and we're going to lean into it and take full advantage of it and give people yet another reason to come and enjoy Middle Tennessee and enjoy our city.
You mentioned Speedway Motorsports. Obviously, that's the biggest change that's taken place between last year and this year. Is Marcus Smith and Speedway Motorsports purchased Dover Motorsports, which owns the Nashville Super Speedway. So what has that transition been like? I know you said you're in Charlotte right now, and you've obviously been to a lot of the SM tracks and gotten to know Marcus and what they're all about. But what has that transition been like with the ownership?
It's really been great. I mean, these guys are visionaries, starting with Bruton Smith, obviously, and Marcus is as well. They think big. They do things big. They love this sport. They you know, they date back to almost the beginnings, really the beginnings of NASCAR. And so it's been a real privilege to work with these folks who are so committed to preserving and enhancing and improving our sport. Marcus has been super supportive, as has the rest of the team. I was just visiting with Greg Walter, my colleague who runs Charlotte Motor Speedway, as they get ready for their race weekend. And, you know, so many of my colleagues, Atlanta and Sonoma and New Hampshire and Jerry Caldwell and Bristol, have been helpful to me even before we became part of the Speedway Motorsports family. And so it's really great. It feels like home, and we're excited to make certain that we are also keeping to that Speedway Motorsports standard in terms of what fans expect and what they deserve.
Yeah, and I mean, you learn so much. You have to put the event on, and then you all decompress and figure out, okay, what worked, what didn't, what can we do better? But now having that resource from Marcus and all the tracks that you mentioned just makes that process even more productive and easier at times. So what are some things that maybe that you learned in the last year that we could see for this time around for Ally 400 weekend?
Well, we certainly know that we had some bumps in the road as it related to getting our patrons and cars into the track as smoothly as we wanted to. And so the biggest thing that we're doing there is we are in the process, and if you follow Nashville Super Speedway on Instagram, you have seen our progress with clearing probably about 20 or 30 acres across the street from the track on property that we own to create almost 3,000 new parking spaces. And so now when you come into the track off of McCreary Road, which is our main entrance, we'll be able to load cars on both sides of that street to get them off that street and into parking spaces much faster. We're also not charging at the track for parking. So last year people were slowing down because they had to give somebody, you know, money, and then they'd usually ask questions because, as you know, Chase, so many of our fans last year, it was their first time coming to our track.
Yeah.
So they didn't know very much about it. So the first person they encountered, they started to ask questions, and that slowed things down. So we think this year that operation will move much more smoothly. We've added 60 more points of sale for concessions so that we should have way more points of sale there. We've upgraded equipment so that those transactions can be processed more quickly. We're really excited. You know, last year we were suffering, like everyone else, I think, with COVID-related kind of staffing issues. Probably needed about 200 or so more people there to help us to make certain that the fan experience was what it should be. This year we've gotten a head start on that, and we think we're going to be better staffed, so we'll be able to provide the kind of services that our fans look forward to.
Well, that's awesome stuff, and I know it's going to be a great event. I can't wait to be a part of it once again. So thanks, as always, my friend, for coming on one more time. Tickets still available for the Ally 400. How do people get them?
NashvilleSuperspeedway.com is the easiest way. You can go to Ticketmaster, or you can call 866-RACE-TICKS, T-I-X, and one of our stupendous account execs will help you to figure out the exact kind of experience you want to have. I will tell people again, if you want to be front and center for that Brothers Osborne concert, we've got a track pass, a fan track pass that will get you front and center down there, get you infield access. We are hoping to have some really big announcements coming here in the next couple of days and weeks that are going to make this experience even more exciting for people. And so stay tuned. And Chase, you know, you will know. As soon as we know, you will know what that news is, and we'll get it out there to listeners so that they can have more reasons to look forward to joining us June 24th through the 26th.
Absolutely. Yes, sir. Eric, thanks as always, and we'll talk to you a little bit closer to the Ally 400 weekend.
Looking forward to it, my friend. Be well.
You too. And that is Eric Moses, the president of the Nashville Super Speedway, joining us. Always enjoy our conversations with him. And that news he was alluding to actually came out after we recorded that interview, and that is global music superstar Kane Brown has been named the Grand Marshal of the Ally 400 at the Nashville Super Speedway on June 26th. So he will be there. He will be the Grand Marshal. So I think that will be pretty cool. As again, and Eric talked about it, a 4 o'clock start on NBC, the first race for the NBC schedule on Sunday, June 26th. So looking forward to that. Coming up next here on Chasing Checkers, we'll get you set for All-Star Weekend. We will discuss the format and what all we think about it. Coming up next on Chasing Checkers, presented by the Nashville Super Speedway, Apple Collision Centers, and the Nashville Fairground Speedway on ESPN 102.5 and 106.3 The Game in Nashville and 92.1 The Axe in Mattoon, Illinois. And we appreciate Eric Moses for joining us here on Chasing Checkers, presented by the Nashville Super Speedway, Apple Collision Centers, and the Nashville Fairground Speedway. Chase McCabe here with you. Again, you can hear us every Saturday morning at 8 on 92.1 The Axe in Mattoon, Illinois, and Sunday mornings at 8 on ESPN 102.5 and 106.3 The Game in Nashville, where we, of course, are based out of. But they're going to go to Texas this weekend, the All-Star race, and that is going to be a ton of fun as NASCAR put the format out there and what they're going to do with that. And I think it's going to be cool. So 125 laps total for the All-Star race. And before that, they're going to have the All-Star Open, which will be, I guess, 50 laps. And each stage winner is going to advance into the big show, into the All-Star race. You'll also get the fan vote winner. So four additional drivers are going to advance into the All-Star race. With the Open, you'll have 20 laps, 20 laps, and then a 10-lap shootout. Where only green flag laps will count. Then you get into the 125-lap feature, which I think is going to be a ton of fun. So this is how that one is going to work. Stage one, 25 laps. The stage one winner will start on the pole for the final stage as long as he finishes 15th or better in stages two and three. Stage two, another 25-lapper. Stage two will be on the outside pole in the final stage. Same thing, 15th or better in stage three. There'll be a stage break, which will be a pit stop competition. Each team must pit, perform a four-tire stop. The team with the shortest time on pit road, which includes pit in and pit out, wins the pit crew award, and the driver that wins that will start fourth in the final stage as long as they finish 15th or better in stage three. Stage three is then 25 laps. The stage three winner will start third in the final stage, and then a 50-lap shootout in stage four. As we mentioned with how the four drivers up front will be, if a natural caution occurs between laps 15 and 25 of the final stage, standard race procedures will be in effect. If no natural caution occurs during that time, NASCAR will call an all-star competition caution, and the winner of stage four, of course, wins the race in $1 million. So this is obviously something that they have worked with and tried to tweak the last few years. It finally got out of Charlotte, went to Bristol during COVID, and then they went to Texas last year, went to Texas again this year. But I'm one of those people that I think it should move around. It should move around every year. I think they wanted to go back to Texas this year because still had COVID stuff dealing with. That's fine. But Austin Dillon was asked that same question.
Yeah, I liked it when it was at Charlotte at the All-Star race because, you know, close to home, you knew what it was. Texas, it's cool going there for 1 year. I think you should move it around a couple times. Plus, Texas hasn't provided the best of racing yet. So I would be voting for another track. Possibly, but you never know. I think as the surface wears out, Texas could be a better race for the All-Star race. It's just needs to, you know, lose some more grip and then maybe, you know, that'll create a more exciting All-Star race.
So I'm pretty sure he agrees with me. Move it around. And he's right. Texas has not provided the best racing, and I'm curious what's going to happen there. You know, are they going to try and do to Texas what they did to Atlanta? And fix it that way. I don't know, because they obviously have to figure that part out. But my hope is they move the All-Star race around. And I'm telling you, my dream here in a few years is the first race back at the fairgrounds is the All-Star race. I think that would be awesome. You do the All-Star race at the fairgrounds, and then a month or so later, you're racing out at the Super Speedway. I think that would be really, really cool. But you also had Chris Buescher talking about how they can improve the racing at Texas.
Yeah, the race can be good there. It's a little bit dependent on track conditions. I know we've messed around with PJ1. We've you know, tried to see if we can make that work. I don't know with this car how it's really been received as a good option or not. But you know, I think that's something that we gotta keep in mind, that there are small options, but at the end of the day, I just think that if we move it around some, it'll keep it fresh and keep it exciting.
So we'll see. I kind of agree with these guys. I don't know if Texas is the best spot for the All-Star race. I loved it on a short track at Bristol, but it'll be fun. We'll have coverage getting underway at 4:30 on Sunday in Nashville on 102.5 The Game, if you're listening there. So we will have that for you. But appreciate Eric Moses for joining us. Kurt Busch is scheduled to be on the show next week, so we will talk to Kurt more about 2311 Racing and his win at Kansas, and we'll see how it all shakes out with the All-Star Race as well. So thanks for tuning in. My thanks to the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway, Apple Collision Centers, and the Nashville Super Speedway for their continued coverage of this fine show and NASCAR racing on ESPN 102.5 and 106.3 The Game in Nashville. I'm Chase McCabe. You can check us out on the podcast. Just search for Chasing Checkers. We'll be at it next week on ESPN 102.5 and 106.3 The Game in Nashville and 92.1 The Axe in Mattoon, Illinois.